This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number three. I'm your host, Captain Mickey Eastman. And on this Pearl Harbor Day, who do we have producing?
Good morning, Houston. I am Austin Mendez producing today.
Hey, that Brad Paisley version, that's turned out to be one of my favorite, you know.
It's definitely. But,
I really like it, and especially since I witnessed it during the World Series, you know, the opening of that, forget which game it was. We did win the game in L.A., and that was bad to the bone, especially with all the flyover and everything. That's hard to beat, man.
Yeah.
It sure is.
That's a classic one for us, for sure, especially – like you said, since we won the World Series, they can never take that away from us.
And plus, I'm sure all our military and law enforcement, everybody that listens to the show, love hearing it too.
Yes, sir. That's what it's all about.
That's what we play it for. You bet. The good guys. All right. Speaking of good guys, we're going to go down to Corpus now. We're going to get started off here with Captain Cliff Webb, see what's going on down in his neck of the woods. Hey, Cliff, what's going on, man?
Whoa, what's going on, Mickey?
Oh, you know it. It's all good, buddy.
Hey, well, I have to congratulate the Texans on that win against the Patriots. Oh, my God.
You got that right.
Kind of on the high. Oh, man, that was awesome, man. I just, and seeing J.J., I wish J.J. would have played in that game, but he got to watch it. You know, he's part of the team, even though he's not playing.
He's inspiration on the sideline. Yeah, you got it, man. You got to love
that
guy.
First thing I'm going to tell you, I couldn't wait to tell you that. That was just awesome, man. But anyway.
Can you believe what he did for all the Harvey people and, you know, all the flooding victims and all that and all the money he raised?
He raised more money than all those. He raised more money than all those Hollywood people put together.
He did. And then whatever magazine it was came out with Man of the Year, and they gave it to Colin Kaepernick instead of him. Can you believe that?
Yeah, that blew my mind, dude. Yeah, some more of that stuff, you know. It's just like, come on, man. It's a small group of people that think they run everything, you know. But the real heart of America is us. You know, we're the real heart of the people. You know, it's us, man. We're the heart of the country.
That's us, baby.
But anyway, you know, Mickey, fishing was smoking Monday. God almighty. I had our old buddy Fred Adams. You know, I had Fred down Monday.
Oh, Freddie. Boy, he gets around, doesn't he?
He does. He moves up and down this coast, buddy. He fishes with Brian. Yeah, I think he introduced you to Brian that's fishing down
the South Padre. He got me hooked up with Brian, and I talked to Brian for a long time on the phone. And I said, man, I like this kid. He's really sharp.
Yeah.
I guess Fred won for that.
Yeah, he is. He fishes with all of us. I think he's fishing with everybody on the coast, but I happen to, you know. It's funny because when Fred comes down, sometimes I don't hit it because, you know, he doesn't wade fish. He fishes out of the boat. Sometime this time of year you need to wade. But, boy, we hit it just right. We had a strong north wind, and it dropped the pressure a little bit earlier, and those fish pulled down in deep mud channels. And we fished channel walls, and Snoopy's open at 11 o'clock, and he likes to be around. Snoopy's around 11:30. But the fish count was over 100 fish at 11 o'clock, Mickey, three of them.
Good Lord.
So, yeah, we smoked them, is all I can tell you, man. It was awesome. You know, just not real big fish, maybe up to 25 inches, you know, 4 or 5 pounders, but lots of good solid fish. And but it was just hard to leave that. And I know people that waited that day and did good on Corky's. The bite was good waiting too. And then and you know how it is when you get a strong bite one day, the next day it's not as good. And boy, I had a couple of guys the next day, and boy, the bottom fell out on us, man. It was just amazing how the weather warmed up, and it got dead calm, just like a milk pond, just slick as it could be. And
not good.
It was a hard bite. You know, we pull out behind the Spoil Island, and then we pop out. And these guys hired me to learn how to fish corkies. And it's a real neat guy. He, him and his father used to listen to your show all the time together.
Yeah.
And on his dying bed, he told his son, he said, man, I wish you'd go down there and fish with Cliff. He said the guy said his dad would always ask him, he said, hey, did you hear the boys this morning? You know, it's part of his life. And on his dying wish, he came down to fish. His son came down and fished with me. I wish it had been a better day, but it's awesome that people that listen to us, it's part of their life. So that this makes you feel good. But
Yeah, it does.
Anyway.
That's why I love what I do, wish, man.
Yeah, I think the highlight of that day was a 4.5 pound on a corky. But, you know, we struggled Tuesday, Mickey. We fished all over that bay. God. And I made a mistake that morning. I got into the fish a little bit. It was a really slow bite, and the bait was working. I thought, man, we could do better than this because I was on such a high from the day before. I thought, man, I can do better than this. And I pull off those fish and just start, you know, circling the wagon. I went everywhere. A couple hours later, I go, hey, man, don't ever leave fish to find lead. Find fish. You broke the golden rule. But, you know, so anyway, that's one mistake I did make on Tuesday. But we ended up okay, but it was nothing like Monday. Man.
Yeah, that was one of Blaine's favorite sayings back in the day when we all first started guiding together. He said, yeah, never drive over Easter eggs to go find more.
Yeah, that's
you're breaking eggs, too, man. Slow it down. You got to camp
breaking
out.
Breaking eggs, buddy.
Breaking eggs.
Man, you think I know better, but I don't. I'll do it again.
Well, we're all guilty of it. We've all done it, you know. There's been a lot of days when I went left when I should have went right or vice versa, you know. It's just that's part of the – nature of the beast, yeah. Man.
Oh, I know it, man. And
you know what hurts us so much? Because we know too much now. Back when we were stupid and young and dumb, you didn't know very much, and when you found something, you stayed with it. And now we just get a little arrogant and think, well, you know, these fish just aren't going here. And we know deep down, if they're not biting here, they're not biting over there either.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
You just
especially this time of year when you find bait. You know, I just... when you find bait in the winter, man, you're going to have some wolves. You got sheep, the wolves are coming. If they're not there yet, the wolves will be there. And I missed, it's true. And I got to keep telling myself, hey, man, the bait's here. And especially when you see the bait that's down, you know, it's not really working.
Right.
And you should maybe leave then because there's no bite. But when you see a little bit of bait working, is it the beginning or is it the end? Is it the beginning of the bite or did you hit the end of it? So that's what's the decision sometimes you have to make. But in the wintertime now, with the lice of numbers of bunched up fish, I'm learning to really stay on that bait and just work it, and so hopefully I won't break again anyway. And it's all good, Mickey. We caught everything on plastics pretty much. Corkies and plastics been the bite this week. Out of the boat, the little John, the pink. It's funny with Flog talking about pink because man, the pink has been hot here on that little John. And then on the darker water, like early in the morning, is that the that purple demon, that man, they like that purple.
I know it. I've been a purple freak all my life.
Yeah.
I guess I listened got one to too much Jimi Hendrix movie music back in the days. Purple haze, baby. Right. Purple haze.
Oh man, back when music was music.
Yes,
but,
sir.
Yeah, they got one now that's got a white tip on it. I think of you because I can't tell you how many years this has been going on. People go, well, Mickey dips that purple with a white tail. Now
hey,
they got one.
You know, that goes back to my old bass fishing days too, man. You got, you know, we used to, earlier in the year before it'd get hot summer, we'd throw the purple with a white tail and the perch wouldn't bother it too bad. And then as we went on into summer throwing that purple cream worm, we'd go to the fire tail because the perch left it alone. And when you did get...
Right.
When you did get something to pick it up, it was a bass. So, it's a head thing. You know all about that. It's whatever you have confidence in, you know. But now those purple, the ones that are coming already pre-dipped, have you noticed that purple is a different purple than the regular straight-up purple?
It is. It kind of has a almost like a sheen to it. It's not a
it's not kind
a
of a faded
purple.
Hue to it. Yeah, it's not that good, deep purple like the
that.
Other one.
Yeah.
We're going to have to talk to Eric about that, man. Even though it still catches fish, I mean, I want it to look like the purple I've always used, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's funny, you know. And I don't know, it's always been the winter color pink, the pink corkies and stuff. This is the time of year with that colder water. Then the red shad is just getting ready to come to that. But, I mean, our water temperature is just yo-yoing up and down. And that first big front we had that knocked it down 25 degrees, it just changed a lot of our patterns here because a lot of our fish that dump into the bay, trickle into the bay the time of year, had dumped real early. And so we're dealing with a few less of the, you know, the B team, I call them, you know, the three and under. A lot of those have pulled out in the bay and out in the Gulf and stuff like that. But, you know, I like that, Mickey, because I have these guys that want to catch a giant trout and, if you're not being bothered by the small ones, if you concentrate more and stay in that bait, just it's, you have a better chance of catching a big one than fishing around a bunch of dinks. I really believe that. Now there's times that I'm got big fish inside those with those dinks. Most of them are eating them, but you know, I kind of like it when it's a little bit of bait and a lot of fish, but the fish are big. That's kind of course I like it when a lot of big fish, but I really like it when you have a chance of catching a big one. That's what it's all about this time of year.
Right. All right. Well, Cliff, hang with me. I'm going to do a quick commercial break and come back to you, man. Stick with me.
All right, Mickey. Thanks, man.
All right, bud. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 6:21 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's go back and let's talk some more with Captain Cliff Webb. All right, Webb, we're back, man.
All right, man. I was sitting there thinking about all those years, 20-some years ago, when that dip and dive first came out, and we were dipping all these tails with everything. That was, and I was trying to think, was that Kelly Wigger that made that little bottle, that dipping dye that came out first? Was that,
right.
I'm trying to think
who yeah,
that
and that's still what I use when I can find it. I like uh-huh. the white tail dip better than anybody else's over Spike It or any of them.
Yeah. I remember how they get it all over the boat. They dip those tails in my bucket, and I would have that chartreuse all over the side of the boat, or orange. Orange was a good one. That orange was tough, man. I remember.
You know, we don't throw the fire tails like we used to. And fire tail used to, boy, I used to love the root beer in the summertime with the fire right. tail and the shrimp tail and the even the smoke.
I tell you the one, too, is the fire tiger. I mean, why don't we throw that fire tiger anymore? Man, that was a great bass's ass. I got a whole bag of them here. I don't even throw them anymore, but. I remember when the orange came out, that orange was hot, and this time of year we would always fish the birds. We had this, 20 years ago, Mickey, at this time of year, there would be flocks of birds all over that bay, and a lot of them would be good fish. And I remember one of my guys dipping an orange tail on a root beer and just smoking those fish. So everybody's dipping their tail, and he wraps up a seagull. I probably told you, he wraps a seagull up, pulls it in, dips his head with that orange dye. And that seagull looked like Dennis Rodman for like a week flying around the bay. That was the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, man. Remember Rodman? He changed his hair color every night on the basketball court. My dad used to call him an Easter chicken. You know how you dye Easter chickens?
Whatever happened to him? You don't see him anymore, man.
I know. You don't hear nothing out of Rodman. What a character.
He was entertaining. He was very entertaining.
He was. I used to love it when he'd throw a fit. He'd get fouled out, and he'd go over and pull his jersey off and sit on the side of the court with his legs crossed. Oh, he was a piece of work. Oh,
yeah,
goodness.
Good
We've stuff. Seen it all.
Yeah, we have. Man, I wonder what happened to old Dennis.
Well, you know, we used to take that root beer, and I like the metal flake one, and we'd dip it in mm-hmm. the fire glow, the hot tip on it, and we'd call it Hollywood. Boy, that was a good one.
Golly, I remember back then, Doug and I would order those big old 50-pound boxes of hoagie worms, hoagie soft glasses. They came in root beer, and they pretty much came in strawberry. Then Doug had them dip the tail with a pink tail on those strawberries.
Yep, hot pink, baby.
Chartreuse. Man, they were smoking hot.
I caught my first 10-pound trout on a hoagie shrimp tail, whiskey metal flake with a pink tail on it.
Man, that's awesome. Golly.
The old whiskey metal flake. It was kind of had an amber root beerish color to it. Boy, the fish liked it, especially in that kind of tannic water that I was fishing in. It had a little bit of the root beer tint to it. The water did.
It was almost the color of that 10W40 that Bass has to make. It was kind of that color of a root beer. It's kind of a clearer color. It was just different. And then, man, it worked.
Remember candy corn? I remember one summer on the Wells in Trinity Bay, that was the go-to bait, a candy corn shrimp tail.
God. And why did we go from shrimp tails to rat tails? It's funny how that works. But, and I truly believe that in early spring and stuff, when these fish start gorging on eels for protein development, they eat a lot of eels. And so that's when I really love the bass ass and rat tails is early spring and, late winter, early spring is when they really start keying in. And that's a lot in our bay systems, they're eating eels because that's what's left a lot, big mullet and a few eels. But it's funny how we would catch them. We never hardly ever used a regular bass ass and it was a shrimp tail. And I think Doug Bird started using the plum chartreuse down here and catching the heck out of them. So everybody started using the bass ass. It's funny how things changed in the last 40 years.
Yeah, the fish haven't changed. We just have,
no,
on what we prefer to throw. And that's what I started throwing up here was that rat tail bass assassin, the red shad. That was my go-to, and it still works. Oh, yeah. We'd throw it.
Yeah, my red shad is one of my hottest colors here in the winter. The colder, the better. And I don't know what it is about that red shad with that black back. They just, and I tell you, I loved putting that little chartreuse head on it in a little dingy water, that 1/16 ounce screw lock with that 2-aught hook, and it just stands straight up and down. And, you know, the other day you were talking about Jason and lead heads. Man, I've been fishing them, and they do stand the bait up, especially the provoker. They stand that sucker up straight.
Yeah, they do.
It doesn't come forward very much unless you really put too much crank on the reel. But I'm pretty impressed with a bait that he's got the design where just a little bit of tilt on that hook makes that bait jump straighter up.
Well, if anybody knows anything about saw plastics and a jig head, it's Jay Watkins.
Oh, I know. And, you know, he was fishing another lead head for years, and they took one of the screws off the screw lock. In other words, it had four turns on it. They cheapened it and made it to three turns.
Yeah.
And what it did, it didn't stand the bait up as straight. In other words, the head was limber. You think about that. Okay, there's not as much metal going up into that tip of that head. And so when it hits the bottom, it lays flatter. It makes sense. And also is a lot of these baits in the winter are real soft, these plastics. And you throw as hard as I do, you rip them, you pull the pants down on them a lot.
Yes,
with that
sir.
Extra screw on that, the extra screw like Jay did on these new lead heads, it holds that bait up, buddy, and it holds it straighter. And so I understand people cutting corners, but, man, when you got a lead head that's kicking butt, you change it, you should never change none of this working. I'm a firm believer you got a product.
That's how they look at it, you know, if they can save
money-wise.
You know, a penny or two per jig head, and when you make millions of them, that adds up into a lot of dollars at the end of the year.
Oh, yeah, I know.
But,
and I've noticed,
you know,
some of
sacrificing quality again, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, with our top end, and it's so funny because I don't understand their thinking, because the top end products need to be top end, and we're expecting to spend top end money on it. They need to be top end. In other words, it needs to be what we're paying for. And I've noticed some of the wading equipment. I'm not going to mention any names, but I sent a jacket back that was 2 years old. The zipper broke in it and the lining coming. They said it was too far worn and they wouldn't repair it. You know, it's a $400 jacket. I'm going, man, you know, it's ridiculous. So I'm having to order a new wading jacket. It's just amazing. And it's all because they changed the zippers on them from American-made to Japan. I'm not bad-mouthing, but the zippers and stuff don't last like they used to, Mickey. You notice that?
No.
I mean, you know, I hate the bad-mouthing, but, man, it's just, I hate that. Yeah, I just don't like that, man. Charge me an extra $50, but do it right.
Exactly.
That's my theory.
I'm with you. It's just, well, you know, we want to depend on our equipment. We want it to function properly every day because,
yes.
You know, you downtime is, you know, that there's no sacrifice for it.
Yeah, and when you need that equipment, because the worst fishing, worst weather is the best fishing. I don't care what anybody says. Give me a 35-degree day, drizzling, raining, cloudy. I'll show you some fish, buddy. I mean,
when
those big girls hit. You know, I love that cold stuff.
Well,
you
got to
have the equipment.
I'm hoping it's not that raw when I come with you in February. One of my good customers booked a trip with you the other day for the 17th and 18th.
Yeah, and, I'm excited about that. I got a big star on that day, man. But,
yeah,
you know,
buddy.
Plog made a great – you know, talking about equipment, Plog made the best thing ever, okay? There's no bad weather. They're just bad equipment. What a great saying. That is so true. You think about that. There's
That's
no
right.
bad, and it's true. You got the right equipment nowadays. You can stay out there, you know?
Yep. Exactly.
That was a good one by Mr. Plog.
Well, James does come up with something every once in a while. He's king of the one-liners. You ought to fish with him. It's absolutely stupid.
I got to, man. Well, I hope you bring him with you, man. Golly, that's awesome, man. I'd love to fish with James.
Well, we're trying to find another boat for those 2 days, too, because we got a couple other guys coming that we got to get them in a boat. And
I can sure do that. I can sure, if you know, you want me to try to look on. And I'll find, I got a couple guys I fish with.
Well, there was one guy I was really thinking about, you know, was if you can't find anybody, was David Rousey or somebody like that.
Oh, Rousey's awesome. In fact, David, I forgot to tell you, David caught a 9-pounder a couple weeks ago. I forgot to 31-inch trout. And I forgot to tell you, but congratulations, David. And I went to the taxidermist yesterday to drop a fish off. I had in my freezer. And John said a 32-inch came in out of Nueces Bay, almost 10 pounds.
Oh.
That is a pig, man, for Nueces Bay. That is a big fish.
Hey, that bay, it holds some big fish.
It does hold a lot of structure. That's what they need, a lot of structure, a lot of, to get away from all the predators. The structure's about getting away from things.
If you like structure, that bay's full of it. Yeah, you run through there and don't know where you're going, you could have a little bit of lower unit trouble when you leave out of there. I promise you.
I like the structure a lot more than my boat does.
Yeah, me too. Well, cool deal. Well, Cliff, it's always good talking to you. And if somebody wants to get down and get hooked up with you and enjoy a great day on the Laguna Madre down there, how do they get a hold of you, bud?
All right, Mickey, I'm at area code 361-949-0707. Chris, you guys have me on, Mick. Thanks, man.
Hey, it's always my pleasure, man. It's always good talking to you.
All right, see you in February, buddy.
I'll be there, brother. All right, Cliff. See you, man.
All right, dog.
All right. That's Captain Cliff Webb. What a great guy. Great fisherman, too.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show.
You know, the worst thing gets me is I'll go ahead and they won't be rigged right, and I'll go ahead and take all their jewelry off, all their snap swivels, and, you know, it's like Mr. T on the end of that rod.
If you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show.
Yeah, it's nature's nacho, buddy. Everybody likes quail.
God, nature's nacho. Leslie T always makes a little sachet through there during the spring when the wildflowers in full bloom. And guess where she stops?
I'll tell you what. I asked them twice about the Captain Mickey discount, and so you need to get on them about getting
it. Well, I don't think they've created that yet.
No.
Sound good when you tell them Captain Mickey.
Well, if you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show.
Now, time for more of the Outdoor Show on Sports Radio 610.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Saturday morning, Pearl Harbor Day. A date that probably will never be forgotten. All right, let's run back down the coast, go back down south again into Rockport, Texas. Now let's talk to Captain Billy Koshin. I'll just call her Captain Cupcake. Hey, Billy, what's up?
Good morning.
What's going on?
My voice. Man, I tell you, there's been so much going on. I think my
what are you yelling too much at them basketball games or what?
Football? Basketball and football and fishing and hunting. I'm telling you, it's just been unbelievable. Gosh, we've been smoking some nice trout, let me tell you. But I have to tell you a story.
Okay.
Mike orders Amazon all the time.
Right.
I mean, he's an Amazon junkie.
Oh,
so the
boy.
Other day... Yeah, so the other day I said, oh, okay, and I usually open all the packages. So me and the dogs were in the kitchen, and I opened up this package, and my dog started yelping. And I was like, what? And I was like, oh, my God, what? And I took off running. My husband did not tell me that he ordered some female doe pee. Open that package, and I tell
you. Doe urine?
Yes. Because we've been trying to get them big bucks to come on in, because they'll come in and look behind the trees to see if there's any doe. I tell you, me and the dogs, we were running every way except for. he came on. I said, "What did you order?" He says, "Oh, I forgot to tell you, I ordered doe pee." And I was like, "God dang it! Oh my Lord!" I tell you, that lit us up. I couldn't
doe estrus.
Yes, he sure did. Oh gosh, that was so funny. No, I had to get up early this morning. I went duck hunting. I'm telling you, I left at 3 o'clock. We went across the bay, and I tell you, running across the bay, you know, when I was in my 20s, it wouldn't faze me. But now, since I'm closer to my 60s, I'm like, dang, man, I can't see nothing. Boy, but once that sun came up, Mickey, them reds were so tight in there, they were hitting the decoys. You could see the tails just knocking the decoys.
Swimming all through the decoys. That's usually the way it works.
It was unbelievable. It was just absolutely crazy. So then it got off of there. Then it went. We had to go to San Antonio to a football game. So finally got back at 2 o'clock in the morning. I think I got 1 hour sleep, jumped up again, and got on the water and went fishing. And we ended up catching it. So 24-inch trout, and then the sweet one came in, and they got a 31.5. I was like, yes!
Man.
And then I hit the bed. I was like, okay. Then y'all called out. I had no voice. I was just like, he ain't going to understand anything I'm saying.
Oh, when I called last weekend?
Yes. I mean, it was, yeah, I had no voice. It was, as a matter of fact, I got up this morning talking about Pearl Harbor. I'm going to be in a parade today, and I don't know if anybody knows the true story about Winnie the Pooh, because Winnie the Pooh, the father was in the military in Pearl Harbor, and he had a dream, and he had a little son, and he was writing letters to his son. Well, he did not want to tell him anything bad, so he met the bear. He had a dream about the bear, and that's how Winnie the Pooh came about.
Huh. Didn't
you did
know
not
that.
Know that?
No.
Yeah. And so
no, I did
he,
not know that.
So he dreamed that dream about, and so he was writing letters to his son and telling him about this bear instead of telling him bad things, and then that's how the book came about Winnie the Pooh. It's pretty cool if you ever go get the history on it.
Okay.
So I decorated cool. the boat Winnie the Pooh and flags today, so going to be in a parade. But I dropped my granddaughter at 4 this morning because she's in a tournament, basketball tournament in Victoria. So I'm like, gosh, dog it. But
no rest for the weary.
That's right.
Yeah, so I remember hearing the stories, you know, my grandparents, and they'd all sit around. You know, back in the day, you know, nobody had cell phones or computers or anything. You'd sit around and listen to all the old people talk and drink coffee and all that. And I heard some, you know, cool stories about that. You know, when back in Pearl Harbor, you know, my grandparents, they had my dad and his two brothers, my uncles, and I mean, as soon as that, you know, they bombed Pearl Harbor, all three of my grandmother, she just couldn't believe it. All three of our kids, they went straight down to the recruiting office and signed up. And
yeah, I believe that.
A couple of weeks later, they were gone, and she didn't think she'd ever see them again. But they all came back safe, and a lot of good stories and, you know, things come out of it. And from the greatest generation, they were back then. I mean, that just kind of like what happened, you know, with 9/11. We had a lot of young guys in this country who immediately go down and sign up. They couldn't take it after seeing that. And
that's
they wanted
right.
to do what they could.
It's amazing. It's amazing stories and things that came out of it. It's breathtaking.
What our president say, a day that will live in infamy?
Yes. FDR. And I have a newspaper from then. I still have that newspaper. I got it probably 45 years ago. Somebody had an original newspaper from there.
Yeah.
And actually, there was a real bad train wreck back then. And I always pull it out at this time and make my grandkids look at it because I said, this is something I don't want you to ever forget. And if tell your kids and tell their kids, you know.
Yeah.
That's real important.
Yeah, because they don't teach a lot of that old history in school anymore, American history like that.
They don't teach
any
of that.
No.
Hardly
away
at all.
I know.
Yeah, and that's unfortunately because our kids need to know our past to get to our future.
Well, that's true.
That's what I think anyway. But, man, fishing has been smoking. Duck hunting was smoking, and I haven't got a deer yet.
Well, maybe you will with the the doe urine. Maybe that'll do it.
Yeah, I'm going to make Mike go do
I
that
saw a
part.
Video
already...
one day a guy drank some of that. I mean,
oh,
people
no,
do
right.
anything to get on YouTube. They really will.
Oh,
I don't remember
my.
Whether it was Catfish Cooley or one of those crazy guys did that on YouTube. I don't
Ooh,
know.
The smell was enough.
Oh,
when your dogs start
horrible.
Yapping, trust me, it's pretty bad. I tell you what, so I'm trying to figure out some way to get him back. I'm going to order something.
Well, a rut has started earlier a lot in your area on down south to the border. There's a lot of chasing already going on. It's pretty early for that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. When I hear you're coming down in February, I'm telling you, you coming down Tivoli, you better really slow her down. They've had, I know of right now, 7 accidents, major accidents.
Yeah.
On Tivoli and, Bay something, right over the bridge here in Fulton.
Yeah.
Major accidents. Hogs running out because they're redoing all that. And the animals are used to running straight across. Well, they can't right now because they've got it buried up there. So just definitely be careful because there is a lot of hogs and deer, lots. It's crazy right now. That's why I can't.
All right, Billy. Well, I wish you luck on getting your buck. I'm going to be heading that way Sunday, so I'm going to go down and try my luck.
I know.
For about
happy birthday early.
Well, yeah, but that's coming later. That'll be my big vacation. But I'm going to slip out of here and see if I can go get that eight pointer I've been trying to shoot down there. So, but if somebody wants to call you, I've got to go to Livingston and get a report now. But if somebody wants to come down and fish with you in the Rockport area, since fishing's so good, give them a number, man.
Sport Fishing Texas are 361-688-8859. Hey, Mickey, when you jump down here, give me a holler. I'd love to grab you and go take you to lunch or go fishing one or the other.
All right. Maybe I can wiggle through there.
Sounds great.
Okay, Billy. See you. All right. You too.
Bye-bye.
Take care. All right. Later. All right, that's Captain Billy Koshin down in Rockport. Now we're going to go up to Lake Livingston, Penwall Campgrounds and Marina, talk to our good friend Harry Detan. Harry, good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Hey, Mickey, how are y'all this morning?
How you doing there, Harry?
Well, we're just doing fitter than a fiddle, I guess. I mean, it's a nice morning. We got about a 6-mile-an-hour wind out of the north, and north is a little unusual for us, but...
Yeah,
that's kind of the way it's going, and all about 50 degrees. You know, the lake. You know, we're right just a slightly above normal pool, and the release is 2,000 cubic feet a second. So,
I wonder where that little bit of water's coming from to keep y'all above pool.
It has to be coming out of the Dallas area.
Mickey,
I mean, you know, we was on. For quite a while, the release was around 1,500 cubic feet. And then they picked the release up. So, you know, it's just a little bit more water coming down the river than what it was. I mean, somewhere out of the Dallas area, you know. I mean, actually, we really hadn't had any rain here in the Livingston area or in quite a while.
Yeah.
And all. I mean, we might have had a little old shower, but not enough to make any difference. But, you know, the lake's really in really pretty good shape. Starting to see some decent crappie come in. Not a lot of numbers to it, but at least they are starting to bite up in the creeks and stuff. So that's the improvement. And, you know, black bass is really pretty slow. But on the other hand, seeing a lot of really nice
How's
catfish.
The water clarity in the lake? Is the lake cleaned up real good?
Yeah, it's pretty good. You know, we had, it'll take, the other day we had a pretty rough little old front blew through, and it'll ruffle up, and it'll take a few days, and it'll settle right back down. So that end of it is pretty good. Everything's really... In pretty good shape. I mean, for this time of the year, you know, I mean, we're at a pretty nice level. I mean, mainly because we get these wintertime storms blowing in here, and you know, if I had my way about it, I'd set it a foot low and roll through the winter like that, mainly because it just it just saves some beating up your boathouses and bulkheads,
sure.
You know, and all. But it's everything is pretty good. I mean, my gosh, you know, we had every leaf and every tree come down all at once. I mean,
I know it. Same at my house.
A ton of leaves and stuff around through here. So I mean, we really can't complain. It's been really pretty quiet up here on the lake. I had a guy come in the other day, and he said, you know, that's a big lake out there. And he said, and I think I was the only boat on it. And there's just not a lot of activity. At all, mainly because, you know, the same people that come fishing, they're all gone deer hunting. So that's just, that's kind of an East Texas cycle, and you just really won't break it, I mean.
Seen any big deer killed in your area lately?
I haven't seen any big deer, in fact, but I have seen a couple of really nice bucks trying to run in front of my truck at night. I've seen a couple of pretty good ones, but I haven't talked to anybody that's killed a big deer. I have talked to several people they have had a good season up in, through this area. I mean, they've had, but I haven't talked to any that's killed.
Yeah, there was two really big deer killed up there right before rifle season. I mean, like days before, you know, bow hunters
on
got them.
Bow season?
Monsters, man. Yeah, I saw the pictures of those. That one was killed right there in Onalaska, and another one just up the road towards Trinity. And
you know, I think I saw a picture of that one in Onalaska.
Yeah, one was like a 165. Really nice deer, man.
Yeah,
monster.
And I'm trying to think of the person's name that killed that. And I can't think of it right quick, but yes, I'd forgotten about that. But it's been a pretty good season. I mean, you know, we've had some nice, cool, cold type mornings, you know, to get the deer moving. So, you know, every year during deer season, you know, I told you about I saw I had a nice buck right here in my campground, didn't you?
Yeah, you told me about that one.
Yeah, that was, a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
You know, I mean, when he left, he jumped in the creek and swam across the creek, and he was gone, you know. We've had some nice fall weather, you might say.
We have.
And I remember.
Well, it started off like it was going to be a rough one with that big front, that first one of the year that was just, man.
We got two freezes kind of back to back.
Yeah, no joke.
And I mean, and that was a month ago, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah, 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean it. They just hit all at once. I mean that one morning is 27 degrees, and I guarantee you, all the leaves in the trees was green as a watermelon, and I mean it hit. And next thing you know, the next day they was dark green, and the next day they was turning brown. You know. And that was the start. But since then, you know, we've had like this morning, it's 50 degrees. We've had some cooler mornings in the 40s. We've had a couple, you know, in the upper 30s. But for mostly, we've had a really pleasant fall. I mean, we've had a couple of days that you just didn't want to get out and really do anything. But most days, you know, about 9, 10 o'clock, you can get out and get done whatever you need to do.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, we've been, you know, this week we've been grinding leaves like a house of fire, you know, trying to get things whipped back around. I mean, my gosh, there's just so many leaves. I've no telling how many tons of leaves or on the ground, I mean.
Well, I'll find them and take them this time of year because, boy, you talk about good shade in the summertime. There's nothing like that.
Oh, yeah.
Trees, man.
And I do it a little bit different, though, Mickey. You know, I wait till nearly all the leaves are out of the trees before I even start.
That's what I do. There's no sense. You can't stay on top of it. Might as well wait till they all fall. All right, Harry, I got to bow out of here. It's time. It's that
all
time
right,
to
Mickey.
Get out of here, bud. And somebody wants to call you up at Pinwall Campground and Marina, how they get a hold of you, man.
Just call us up here at Pinwall, and that number is 936-967-4752.
Hey, Harry, we're going to do it, and good talking to you. Have a good weekend. See you, bud.
Thanks. All right, bye-bye.
All right. That's Harry Detan up at Pinwall Campground and Marina, and that's all the time we have for today's show, but tomorrow's Open Line Fun Sunday, Sicko Sunday as we call it, and we'll be back here bright and early at 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.